This one here, can you ask Brad if I can have a job? Well, we'll do that now. Brad Treliving, GM of the Calgary Flames, joins us. Would you give this guy, give him a job? Do you need have anything you need done over there?
Any openings?
Lots to do. Who is it? I just got on. I didn't hear who you...
Yeah, I don't know. Just some schlub on our text line.
Might be a coach, though. That could work.
Well, we need one of those. So sure, send him over.
And he could probably start soon. Are you looking to hire anybody relatively quickly? What would you say the timing on a coaching search would be?
No, I was shocked you asked me that.
Yeah.
We don't play till October, so we didn't necessarily know if we needed much before that. But
uh-huh.
No, in all seriousness, that's coming to a conclusion here rather quickly, so we're hopeful to have that button down here fairly soon.
Will you have a new coach by the draft?
We will. In saying that, you know, I know there's always this big, there's always a lot of talk where you have a coach by the draft. I mean, the coach and you have about the same responsibilities at the draft. Let's put it that way. There's very little a coach will do in the draft. Now, having said that, as you get into starting to build your team and talking about potential additions to your team, moves, things like that, you always want to have the coach to communicate with and get his thoughts and talk about, you know, where you may be going from a personnel side. But the thought that the coach is heavily involved in selecting players, you know, just isn't the case. But
no, you know, the only reason I ask is purely for just timing-wise.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I... Like I said, it's been we've had a thorough process here, and we're fast approaching the finish line.
How many remain on the list, on your list of potential candidates?
Of potential coaching candidates?
Yes, that you...
Finalists, let's say.
Finalists on your list.
Well, we're down to the short strokes. So it's a limited list right now. And listen, we went through, you know, the process that we went through, just to kind of give you a little thumbnail sketches, you know, a lot of thought was going into building a profile of what we're looking for. So I know people may think you make a change and all of a sudden you rush out and just start talking to 100 people. But, you know... I had a pretty long flight over to Russia right after we made the change, and a lot of that was spent in the days after that of just really drilling down into the profile. What, I mean, at the end of the day, what makes a good coach, and what are the qualities you're looking for? And I think before you start running around and talking to people, you should really have a good idea of what exactly you're looking for. And so we built what I'd consider a real in-depth and thorough profile of all the different characteristics and, you know, what we think is important in terms of the attributes and the traits of this new coach. And then got into the discussion and interview process and meeting with people and really cast a wide net to start with in a lot of respects. Had some real interesting discussions and in some respects eliminated people as we continue to go back and look at their profile. So, you know, it hasn't been a situation. We've talked to 150 guys, but we've talked to a lot. Met with a lot. Whether it be in person on the phone, spoke with a lot. And now we're, like I said, we're down to the short strokes.
Are you in a spot where you've spoken with everyone you intend to speak to, or now with these last two teams, will you be seeking permission to speak with anyone else?
Well, I'd say we're down to the short stroke. I'm not going to get into specifics about which teams and so on and so forth.
Because I had a 50-50 chance there, right? I mean,
yeah.
There's only two.
You're really kind of narrowing.
I'm trying to do what I can. And again, it sounds like I'm really kind of badgering you, but I think there's a curiosity around it.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you've talked to all of these candidates, I'm sure some you've talked to more than once, what now needs to be done? Is it meetings in-house? Is it you making up your mind? What needs to be done prior to making that final call and letting the man know he's got the job?
Well, as you go through it, you know, I'd like to be inclusive here. So we've We've had both Craig Connor and Brad Pascal meet with what I consider that you know, they were very involved with the process as went through and sharing thoughts. And then now, obviously, Brian and Ken just, you know, putting a recommendation forward, them having a chance to visit with, you know, visit with the person, persons, and then try to bring it to closure. So, like I said, we're and I understand the interest in it, and rightly so. It's an important decision. It's an important hire. And as I said from the onset, the idea here is there is obviously a timeline. Like, to me, we're at the time now. Okay, let's get going now. But we've been thorough, and it really wasn't the object to get it done quickly. It's to get somebody that's going to fit with us for now and really for the foreseeable future. You know, this hire is one that you're not just hiring for the next, you know, hopeful short term. This is going to be somebody that's going to be with us and grow with us and win with us over the long term.
So, and again, final one for me on this. This is your call to make this hire. You make a recommendation to the others, obviously. Do you have your mind made up on who you want today?
Yes.
Thank you.
Ooh, very good. Wow. I wonder if the process, Brad, allowed you a bit of an audit from some other people in terms of just getting their view of the organization and not just looking for a new head coach, but an opportunity to sort of exchange ideas with some good coaching minds.
It is, Ryan. You know, it's a fine balance here because, you know, as you go through this process, there's some people you talk to that, you know, are employed by their teams. There's some that are not. There's some that are working at, you know, at the NHL level. There's some that are working at other levels. So the one thing I wanted to do is be very respectful for those people that are under contract with other organizations that, you know, you as much as the interview process is very important, to me, the background that you're doing and all the homework you're doing, the interview process in a lot of ways should be confirming beliefs, if you will. Because I really don't believe you just run out and say, well, there's, you know, Bob or Fred, and let's just grab him and find out what he's about in an interview. You know, for the most part, people are going to be able to tell you the good things about themselves when you're sitting one-on-one. But I think you need to have much more depth prior to that than somebody sitting across from you. So I also wanted to have respect for other teams that you're not just going out on a fact-finding mission. Anybody that I had brought in or anybody that I spent, you know, what I consider considerable time with, was somebody that I felt legitimately first met our criteria, fit the profile, the person that we're looking to have, and not just, you know, digging and grabbing information. It's been real educational. I think any time that you can visit and spend time with, you know, people in the game and talk about the game and share ideas and pick their brains, I think it's always a very positive experience. So that part's has been really enlightening, if you will, in a lot of ways. And internally as well. Like I said, the front part of this process, I think, is real critical. Until you really define what it is you're looking for, I think you can spend a lot of time spinning your wheels and, you know, you get impressed by people and you're bouncing all over the map a little bit. So we put in and spent, like I said, the first couple of weeks of just really defining the type of person, what we thought, what assets we felt were really important, both personally, in terms of the person we want to get to. I think it's important. You want to be surrounded with and work with good people, you know, and then the bricks and mortars in terms of the beliefs, the technical ability, the style of play. Mm-hmm. So that part was really important, but it's been a long process, but a very productive one.
He is Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. A lot of fans are also very curious about goaltending. You need some of them, although we're hearing you have brought one into the fold reportedly. Can you, I guess, shed any light on that or just where you're at with your goaltending right now?
Well, I guess we just dove right into it. There really wasn't an exchange of pleasantries. We just dove right into the business, eh?
Well, why not, hey?
I mean, a lot of time here.
Yeah. Well, we'll break some news, I guess. Yeah, it's probably, I guess it's been out there for a few days, but we have come to an agreement with David Rittich. And no, we're not planning on David Rittich solving our goaltending questions, if you will, right here in Calgary. He played in the Czech League. You know, we looked at our goaltending organizationally is something we wanted to really look at top to bottom. And obviously, most importantly for us right now is who and how our goaltending is going to be structured in Calgary.
Right.
But we also are looking organizationally. We think we've got a couple of good young goaltenders.
How did you stumble upon David Rittich, I guess, before we go any further?
He's a guy our European guys had identified going back a little bit of time. We'd followed him, you know, during the year. We had some of our guys from North America here go over and watch him throughout the year. And again, a big guy, athletic. In some ways, you know, the Czech League isn't necessarily the top level. We had our goaltender, you know, once identified, and we spent some time with him in terms of our scouting staff. Jordan Siglett dug in sort of mechanically on this kid, video-wise, watched a lot of him, and really, really liked his size, his athletic ability, and thought, you know, he's raw in a lot of ways, but he's a guy that will come over this year. It's a one-year deal. It's a two-way contract. And again, you know, when you talk about the position, we wanted to be deep in the position and, you know, both at the NHL level and outside the NHL. So when we look at the John Gillies, when we look at the Mason McDonalds, Nick Schneider, you know, adding David Rittich, to that group, we think we're growing some depth. And it's another asset for us. So, you know, he'll be coming over for our development camp. We'll have a, you know, chance to get him to know him a little bit better and just really see where it goes. To us, it's a two-way contract. There's low risk, and we think there's some upside with this kid.
I'm not looking to back in the corner. I just now Joni Ordio, his name didn't come in. Where obviously still part of the plan, or where are we on Joni Ordio?
Yeah, we're still looking. Obviously, you know, to me, this signing really doesn't impact an Ordio per se. You know, Yoni's contract is up. He's very much right now part of our discussion in terms of our plan going forward, and a lot of it's going to depend on where we go with the goaltending. You know, I think we've talked about it at nauseum. That's a critical decision for us this year of you know where we go and how, depending on what move is made. I think we saw, you know, really over the last couple of years, some flashes of Yoni that he can play at this level. Now, are we prepared right now to launch him out as and trot him out 65, 70 times a year? No, but in the right role with the right partner, we think that there could be a, you know, Yoni could play a role here. But yeah, that's all things that are going to be determined here in the next few weeks.
We've had Joel Colburn on the show a couple times here in the last few weeks. He has his charity event coming up. He's been asked on both occasions about where he feels a contract is at, being a impending RFA. He's said on a couple of times that he feels like it's close and hopefully something to announce here very soon. Do you share his positivity?
Well, I think, you know, Boom, I'm not one to really expound.
I'm trying my best
on where contracts may or may not be. Listen, I like Joe a lot. Joe's an excellent young man. I think he, you know, I think he grew as a player last year in terms of his production.
It's got to be at the right price, though, right? I mean,
it's all the same.
Always.
You know, they all fall into the same fit. You know, in a cap system, you've got to be. It's got to make sense for obviously the player, and it's got to make sense for the team. So we'll continue to. You know, we're having discussions with his representative right now. Like I said, I like Joe a lot, but at the end of the day, the puzzle has to all fit, and the pieces have to all fit here together. So, you know, as much as each. You look at these independently, and you look at them in and of their self, but they're every nickel is part of a bigger puzzle that you're trying to put together. So we'll continue to work away. We'll see where we get to on it, and hopefully we can get to a good result. You know, I know Joe wants to be here. We'd like to have Joe here for sure, but having said that too, it's got to make sense for everyone, and. We'll see where we get to.
Thoughts on the Penguins and the job that Jim Rutherford's done there? It looked like a train wreck before Christmas and yet dominant the last 2 months of the year.
Yeah, they're a really interesting team. I mean, if you look at that team over the course of the last few weeks, and I'd say specifically in the final, I thought, you know, when you get to a final, there's a lot of factors in play, and probably number one being health. You probably hear stories over the course of the next few days as the series comes to an end of where some people were in terms of health. But that team looked as quick and as dominant as any team really in recent memory. I thought, you know, I thought Jim did a tremendous job, and you touched on it, Ryan. You know, that team was in here early in the year, and they were going through some trials and tribulations. I think he made some changes that really benefited, obviously, their team. But the speed at which they played, the ability to run four lines, and, you know, listen, they've got top players. When you look at the Crosbys and you look at the Malkins and the Kessels, and when you're able to put a $7+ million player in your third line, I thought also the coaching staff did a great job in terms of you know, that's they're a tough match team. You know, when you had one of the big dogs on each one of the lines, you know, they caused fits for opponents. So it was at the end of the day, you play all those games, the best team won. I was a big fan of San Jose and what Pete DeBoer was able to do there this year, but they just looked a step behind, and Pitt was quicker and got scoring from up and down the lineup, and you know, played a real hard competitive game, and then when the chips were on the line, they were able to defend and not give up a lot and sacrifice themselves in terms of blocking shots and all the bits. So a worthy champion and a hell of a run by them.
He is Brad Treliving, our guest here on Sportsnet 960, The Fan. The draft is kind of getting close, isn't it? We kind of laughed this morning. It's we're a couple weeks away with a lot of expectation. I won't ask you about Vegas expansion or anything, but we'll, for the purposes of this, whether or not there's an expansion draft and what that might do to other teams. Is there a lot of chatter trade-wise right now? Are teams kind of setting themselves up? Are you setting yourself up in the event that there's an announcement coming up on the 22nd or whenever it might be?
Yeah, I mean, the time of the year, you know, in and of itself just causes for discussion. So anytime you're leading up to a draft, there's, you know, everybody, to answer the question, there's a lot of chatter and have been for the last couple of weeks, number of weeks. And it seems, I go back and look at my notes from a year ago, last couple of years, you say, well, there's, you know, it seems like there's more than there was the previous year. I think there's a few factors in play. Number one, you know, the league is so much driven financially right now, and you still have got some questions of where the cap may go to or may be at. You see where, you know, some of these second contracts are going to, and some of the young players coming either coming out of entry level or coming out of the second contract, you know, the need to have space to absorb those contracts internally for all the teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then secondarily, you know, the you know, the chance that there is expansion. And we haven't, you know, we were briefed at the manager's meeting in March that, you know, there is a chance that's going to happen. I think the board will address that here in short order. But you have to be prepared in the event that that happens and what that may open up. You know, obviously for us, there may be opportunities. Now, I think, you know, the common thought when you look at our team is if there is expansion, and still that is an if,
yeah.
That all these goaltenders are all of a sudden people are just going to be looking to dump goaltenders out. Well, there may be an opportunity where somebody looks and says if we can only protect one or whatever the case, it may make people available. It doesn't necessarily mean they're going to rush them out the door today. You know, the expansion draft, if in fact there is one, wouldn't be from a year from now. But those are all things that you have to be prepared for and try to get ahead of. So that's also probably caused another layer of discussions of if you're looking at your team right now and depending exactly what the minutia of the rules will be, how do you prepare for it? And if you have somebody that you potentially could lose, is there a way to get an asset or assets for it? So
yeah.
The conversations for sure, Boom, have picked up. And like I said, I expect it based upon the volume and the depth of the conversations for it to be a pretty active couple of weeks. And, you know, even from a, you know, from a draft standpoint, there's you know, you see it now. There's a number of teams without first round picks here. I think we've positioned ourselves well going into the draft with the number of picks that we do have, and we'll see if that, you know, gives us some opportunities to do some things. So, lots of talk. And we'll see where it gets to over the course of the next couple of weeks.
And so much of it, and this goes without saying, but you can't know until you get there. You can't know. I mean, in those notes that you mentioned, a year ago from right now, did you have any inkling that you were going to be able to trade for Dougie Hamilton?
No, I would have said 2 weeks out. Probably. It was an interesting one last year because, you know, I had talked, it was probably just a short time ago, a year ago at this time that Donnie got the job in Boston. And we had some initial talks. You know, you outline what you're kind of looking for. They outline where they may be doing. And it was a priority for us last year to look at our defense and really try to find a young defenseman. Now, you know, it's sort of like trying to find a unicorn nowadays. People just aren't giving up young defensemen. And so 2 weeks out last year, I'd have said, no, there's no chance. It wasn't an option. And then as you get closer to it, you stay persistent and something pops a little bit and you push away at it. So I think we've got a pretty good handle right now of what teams are looking for, probably in a 30,000 foot view in terms of positional needs or where they at, where people are at financially and what contracts they have either coming up or need to get done. So you have a pretty good idea. And, you know, now you're really drilling into, you know, you're talking names and talking particular, you know, fits. And that's really where a lot of the lion's share of work is you're, you know, at the end of the day, you need, it takes two to make a deal. And you got to have something they want and they've got to have something you want. And there's got to be a fit both from a positional situation, from a financial situation, and so that's, you know, that's sort of where you spend a lot of the time is, you know, there's certain teams that just really aren't fits, and then, you know, you take into consideration not necessarily maybe what's happening in the next 2 or 3 months, but, you know, people are talking about what contracts they may be coming up a year or 2 years from now. And things that they may want to do. For instance, I had conversations this morning with teams going back on, you know, things that we had talked about 16 months ago. And so you stay close to those things. And so each, you know, when a deal happens, every deal has got a different incubation period. It may be something that's moved quickly, but in most cases, I would say, there are things that you've talked about for, for weeks, if not months.
And that's crazy for me to think, because you would think 16 months, that has passed, and you've started to pursue other things, and all of a sudden you got to throw the brakes on and think, okay, well, what if that is a possibility? I was going to ask, like, how many different scenarios? It's infinite, though, isn't it? The number of potential scenarios, whether it's keeping a pick, trading a pick, acquiring another one, that sort of thing. Anything's on the line right now, right?
Yeah. And you've got a number of teams, which I would consider us one of. It's interesting if you go back and study the draft the last few years. It's you know, you got a number of teams now. I think, I don't have my stuff in front of me, but I think we're at five or six teams that don't have a first round pick. And then you look at ourselves, Carolina, Toronto, that have, you know, when you look at you know, numerous picks in the first two rounds. So those become, you know, I always say it, that you make that deal on the deadline, and that second round pick is just a number. And then the closer you get to the draft, now you're actually talking about names, because if you're picking at X spot, you've sort of mocked it up for the last few months of who could be available. So now you're taking out a number and you're replacing a name, and that has more value when you start saying, well, if we move this, instead of it being, you know, 54 or 56 or 35, it's actually, you know, Joe Smith or so on and so forth. So you start to have a little bit better sense of where things are headed. And so much now, guys, is driven from financial considerations. You saw for so many years, you know, just the expected growth of the cap. So if you had contracts that were coming up, or if you were tight, you know, in a lot of ways, the growth of the cap would allow you to absorb those increases. You know, we saw last year, and the expectation is this year is, you know, if there is growth, it's going to be not to the degree that we've seen maybe 2 or 3 years ago. So that may cause other, you know, pressure points. And when I talk about a year, things that are even talking about a year ago, you're projecting it. Like a year ago, we knew that at some point, you know, within the next calendar year, that we had, you know, two young guys that are going to need contracts, and that's you know, those are going to create increases for us, and we may be looking to do some things. There's teams talking now what may be coming up next year, and whether they want to get ahead of things here. So it's always a moving target, and it's important to stay on top of it, in front of it, and in front of it as best you can.
Yeah. Thanks for doing this. Before we go, I want to offer condolences to you and your family on the loss of your mom. They say that, you know, work can help get your mind, and that's one thing you never have to worry about, is getting back to work. But I know from Flames fans, everybody would like to wish you and your family the best on that. And it's good to talk to you again. The afternoon guys, they kind of
seem hogging
to,
you.
They hoard you, and we barely get to talk to you, but we appreciate you coming on.
Well, always a pleasure, and I appreciate the kind words. And I always say the hockey world is a great one, the people in it, and you realize that in times of when you're going through difficult times. So I appreciate we've gotten lots of letters and notes and texts, and I appreciate that from all of you. So yeah, it's good to talk with you guys. And is summer, you know, we probably won't talk to the fall. Is Rhett there, or is he already taken?
Oh, he's long, yeah, gone. He's yeah. Long gone.
Second
yeah,
round.
Yeah. History, yeah. Yeah, I figured as much. So. Yeah.
He's not on your short list, is he?
I hope not.
Well, it was a long list.
I know you won't talk about it.
Wide
so.
Net cast.
Yeah. Yeah, we cast a wide net, so there some of them. It's like fishing. You got to shake free a few of those guys who get caught up in the net. So.
Yeah, yeah.
But good chatting with you guys, and I'm sure we'll be chatting soon here as we head through the next couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll see you later this week at that coaching press conference.
Can't wait.
Sounds great, guys.
Thanks, Brad.
See you.
There he is, the GM of the Flames, Brad Treliving. Good sport, good guy.